Okay, so this is the introduction time. Could introduce someone? Obviously. Okay. So he worked in Indian Army and now he resigned there and he joined Jesus Christ Army. Okay, so that's Colossians 1:13. We are transferred from kingdom of darkness to kingdom of dear son. So he got translated from kingdom of Indian Army to Jesus Christ Army. So he is a soldier in kingdom of God and he is amazing man of God. I would say he knows God. Yes, he knows. So he is an amazing man who he always encourages whomever he meets. So that's a man that he is going to build us up. In Acts chapter 20 verse 32, it says, word of his grace is going to build us up. The word of grace only can build us up, if I would say that. If not grace, there is no building, there is no edification, there is a condemnation and a complete different things opposite to edification. So let's welcome Mr. Felix Arnold as he's going to deliver God's word to us.
Good evening, everyone. Yeah. It's good to be here in Vizag. Last time I came here, 2015, I was on the bed. So, we have a unseen enemy, you know. So I thought it was just like, I can just walk through and the next day I was on the bed. I really believe it was not, because I come from a hot climate. The Bangalore was okay, but suddenly I took ill. So this commando or army will not work. I think we are progressed really well in the conference, right? So God has really spoken many things to us. And if I have to coin or give some name to the message, I can give this name as a condescending grace and the defense of a believer. Condescending grace and the defense of a believer. So we'll talk about condescension, grace, and before that, I want to share a small thought which I read in one of the bulletins which we have. In 2016, during the Christmas season, the Christmas bulletin was out, and Pastor Shala shared a thought in that bulletin. And by any chance, anyone remembers? By any chance, yes. Because it's Christmas season, and what could that be? Okay. So, Pastor Shala wrote that we worship a God who is a humble God. This is what he writes. We worship a God who is a humble God. So, that is condescension. So, Jesus Christ leaving heaven and coming down to the earth. This is God who is superior to all things. He's the creator of the entire universe. And now, he is stooping down to inferior, like you and me. And he has come down. So, he condescended from heaven, came down on the earth. And that is condescending grace, which was given to us. Right? So, one of the Christian psychologists, he says this, Lawrence Crabb, he writes that fallen man, you know, one thing, an important characteristic of the fallen man is he does not want to be involved. You know, that is the mark of a fallen nature in us, that we don't want to be involved, right? So, it's very easy. I will explain to you. If you go on the roads and if you see somebody meeting with an accident, right? What is the general thing which happens? Sorry? Nobody wants to get involved, you know? That's the right answer, because everybody will watch. People will take maybe photographs also. People will be around. But nobody will really go and get involved. You know, that is the characteristic of the fallen man in us. But God, in His entire, His nature, which we learned today about grace, right? Grace depends on the disposition or the character of the giver. And this great God of ours, who is this great humble God, who left heaven and came down, and He was not like that fallen man like we, not wanting to get involved, but He really wanted to get involved in man. And that is where, what prompted God to get involved with fallen man? And the answer is that He, in that fallen state of man, also saw the marred image of God in that fallen state of man. That is why God involved Himself. He condescended down. He saw that man was created in this image of God. And what has happened? This image in which man was created is completely marred. But still He comes down. He is down. He goes down. And He still wants to restore that marred image and elevate this fallen man into a position into which he was actually created for, right? So that is condescending grace. And the second part to the message is, I want to show you how Jesus Christ defends the believer. You know, so Jesus is our defense. We don't need to create or live in our own self-defense mechanisms. We can depend on God, and God slowly, progressively teaches us. And let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'll read like 3 verses. And in Matthew 9, verse 10, and it says, "Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples." This small narration is there in the Gospel of Mark. It's there in the Gospel of Luke also. But in Matthew, it is like given. I like a couple of points in this narration with Matthew gives. And it says in verse 11, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" So if you see this, so the Pharisees and the scribes, they are here. This is the house of Levi. And Levi holds a party for Jesus. And Jesus is there. And the tax collectors, sinners, all are there in that place. And they are all gathered. And Jesus is like maybe doing a rap in that place. Okay, so the scribes and the Pharisees, they come. They have an issue with whom, actually? Whom do they have the real issue with? Yeah, the issue is with Jesus Christ, correct? But whom are they targeting? They're targeting, in verse 11, they go and speak to His disciples. Have you ever been in a place where, you know, I don't agree with another person, okay? So instead of talking to him, I'll talk to his friend. Yeah, because I don't agree with him, right? So A does not agree with B. So instead of A going to B, A goes to C, right? So here, the scribes and the Pharisees, their real issue is Jesus Christ, but they go to His disciples, correct? But here is the point which I want to come. Like, Jesus so quickly, He sees that these guys are targeting His disciples, and He is not going to keep quiet about it, right? So that is like the heart of the man of God, right? He sees so many trends coming in. He's not going to keep quiet, because He's going to preach from the pulpit. He's going to, that correction is going to come. The word of God is going to come. Truth is going to come. And that is going to bring us back in the right path. And that is what Jesus is doing. Jesus, verse 12, "When Jesus heard that, He said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" Verse 13, this is what I like. In 13 He says, "But go and learn what this means." Jesus is saying, you know what, you guys go to Bible college, get trained, you know. So if you have a mega church, so what? But go to Bible college, be trained under the man of God, be raised up, be discipled, learn to pick up your cross, learn the hard way, and then you can clearly distinguish what I actually want to say. And then he says, find out what is the meaning, and I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Right? So this is the heart of God, and this is what grace has done to us. Because today we are given grace by God, we become the envy of our adversary. So we are actually not the target. His target was Jesus Christ. He couldn't do anything to him while he was on the earth. All his attempts, right from his birth, right till his death, Satan and his demons wanted to end Jesus Christ, but nothing was accomplished during that time. So now our adversary knows that he is already defeated. So right, he cannot do anything to Jesus Christ, because now he is ascended. He is at the right hand of the Father. He has been given all the highest position possible. And now you and I become the envy and the target of him, right? But here in the midst of all these things, God like shows his grace to us. He manifests his grace to us, and we become, as we heard in the morning, right? What do we become? We become the classroom for principalities and powers to actually know what this great grace which has done to all of us, right? So in closing, Ephesians 2 verse 7. Ephesians 2 verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Right? So we are going to learn in ages to come. We have just got a small glimpse of what grace is. Many times we slip away. But again, when we hear grace, we align ourselves back to it. But in all eternity, we are going to keep learning, keep hearing about what this great grace of God is all about. Right? Thank you.